Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to this week's Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow. And today on the show, your song.
Raising money for Elton John Foundation, we've got the new charity single.
And the British Podcast Award.
Yep, we were there. We'll fill you in.
And this queer angel.
The author of this incredible true story will be live on the end of the phone.
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out. Sorry, you got an extra jingle there at the beginning. Did you notice?
Just get an extra jingle.
I didn't
see,
press the wrong button on
it. Nobody would have noticed unless you said.
Hello. Hello. But some of our listeners have been listening for years, so they know that I don't normally do that. I blame it on the heat.
Well, also, it's very, very confusing out there because of all the polling going on, the voting.
Yes, which we're not allowed to talk about.
No, but we can say that this is a polling station.
Perda. You can say the polls are open till 10.
Yeah. But the polls are open till 10.
Yeah.
In your area.
Yeah. Anyway, hello, Mitch. I haven't seen you in ages.
Hello.
I didn't stuff at the beginning with you this week. That's normally what I do with Steph.
You stuff what?
Yeah, here we go.
No, Steph.
I just asked him. I heard the word.
Steph. Any word that resembles anything double entendre.
Double entendre. I'm sure it's French. It's
good French.
I like double entendre. I like saying double entendre.
Good French pronunciation, Mitch.
I know. I'm really, really linguistic.
We got a bit of a... Is it an exclusive, the Your Song? Has it been released yet? Your Song, Brett Selwyn.
No, that's it's Alan Coulthard produced it. It's on his own label, and he's given it to us as a world exclusive. Yeah.
Brett was on the show a few weeks ago. Brett Selwyn. He's recorded a single.
How does a journalist suddenly become a singer?
Well, I don't know.
Have you heard his voice? He's Welsh, and he's got a really deep...
Yeah, I would have thought...
Would you say it was baritone? Have you not heard it yet?
I have heard it, I played it last
baritone,
night.
Baritone, would you say, Brett?
I mean, your song, as in the song Your Song, is not an easy one to sing.
So. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, we would be singing that for you, Steph.
I can't sing, full stop.
Like Steph.
Elton's renowned for his complicated... tunes and melodies and lyrics and harmonies.
But he writes them so quick. I've seen him being interviewed, and he's like, I sit down and I just go on the piano, and the next thing you know, I've got a song.
He's a genius, really.
We have the song, we're going to head over, and we've got a little bit of an extended Sassy 5. It's kind of more like a Sassy 7 this week, isn't it? But it's all about Essex pride.
Sassy 5. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to LGBTQ+ Shout Out Radio, and this week's Sassy 7, I am talking to Essex Pride. And for Essex Pride, we have representing Gary Orms, the chair of the committee. Gary, how are you doing?
Hi, Sassy. Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks for asking me on to chat to you today.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, look, we go back anyway, but you know Essex Pride is one of my favourite prides. That's one I hold in my heart. So I'm so excited to be talking about this.
Yeah, just always. It wouldn't be the same without you. So we're so glad you've been able to come back. And, you know, you've got a long history with the event. And, you know, there have been, you know, one or two years when you've not been there. And people are always like, where is Saskia this year? Why is she not here? So... so glad that you can come and be a part of it this year. It's never ever the same without you.
You're too kind. Well, obviously last year I couldn't come, so I blooming broke my ankle, didn't I? Fractured. I was having surgery as Essex Pride was like away live, so I was very gutted to miss it. But it is always really lovely to be a part of it. And speaking of the history of it, it's actually been going on since around 2003. I believe it's in its 10th year in the park. Is that right?
Yeah, just, you know, it's unbelievable. We just cannot really comprehend the fact that it started in a pub.
Yeah.
Unbelievably, which was Smith's Bar. That was the LGBT plus venue at the time in Chelmsford. And that's where it started. It was literally an event that kind of was put on to thank people for coming to the pub throughout the year. And it just grew and grew and grew. And the whole community, people that were LGBT plus and non-LGBT people, allies as well, just got behind it. And it just grew. And by year five, then it became a street party. But each time, each year, we just outgrew where it was being held, and we had to find a new home for it. So that's where it's ended up, is in Central Park.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I remember, we were talking about this before, but I remember when it was at the pub, in the back of the pub at Smith's Bar, and actually the biggest thing that I remember even at that point, because obviously now we've got all the smaller local prides as well, which is really great, but I remember thinking, wow, like, this is amazing, there's nothing like this. And it, like, the good thing about it is that it's grown so much, you know, like we talked earlier saying that apparently it's in its 16th year, but the 10th year in the park, so just to show that the support and backing and actually how much it's really needed has made such a positive impact, hasn't it, on the community?
Yeah, I mean, it's been through several changes, and something that we always like to do is to involve local artists and local people. So it's always been about showcasing local talent, but also this year, as we've got bigger, we've been able to really invite some other bigger name personalities and artists. So they've pledged their support this year. So, for example, we've got Sam Bailey.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes, go on, tell me. This is what I wanted to know. I obviously know, but tell me again, because I'm so excited. Yeah. Who are the headliners? Who's the acts? Come on.
So Sam Bailey's coming. We're really pleased to have Sam Bailey this year. We, you know, love her voice. Lee Mead, who is a local lad to Essex.
Yes.
Who was obviously originally Joseph. He won the part of Joseph in the West End in the TV show.
Yes. But
he also plays a gay character in Holby City. He's representing, really pleased to have Lee Mead come and perform. And everybody loves RuPaul Drag Race.
We have
an actual queen. Yeah, we've got Cynthia Lee Fontaine from RuPaul Drag Race as well, so she's going to be coming down. And if you like a bit of 90s old school, we've got Entrance. Do you remember Entrance?
Oh, mate, set you free. I'm doing it now. Set you free.
Don't sing that one, because we've got Entrance coming.
That's the thing, isn't it? I always actually get in trouble, because it's like every time I have to sing my songs and perform it, obviously doing the covers when I'm hosting and stuff, and it's like, no, don't sing that, Saskia, because we've got that act here today, don't sing their songs.
I mean, in previous years we've had S Club, we've had Five, we had Mutia from the Sugar Babes. We've had some really great people supporting the event and this year. Oh, as well as that, actually, we do like to kind of cater for everybody and all tastes in music. So if you like a bit of 70s disco, don't know if that's your thing, Saski.
Love a bit of anything with a champagne glass in my hand.
So we've got Boney M from the 70s. So they're going to be coming along, bringing the party as well. Real mixture.
But I think that sums up Essex Pride as a whole anyway, because, you know, it is always, you know, the big tent that we've got now terms of, because it used to be two stages, now we've got the massive big tent. Not just that, within the park, it's very much community orientated, family orientated. It is very much, you know, well thought out about having the whole whole community involved, which is one thing I really love, because, you know, even when I'm working with young students doing my training in the schools, I said to them today, I've been at a school, local school today, I said, are you going to Essex Pride? They went, oh yeah, we love that, we can go, we can be part of it, you know.
So it's
so good. It makes a big difference, and the biggest thing I love about the whole about Essex Pride is you've got, of course, you've got the dog shows back again this year.
Oh, it is. It's very popular part of the event. Obviously, we do like to be inclusive of people's pets as well. So, yeah, you can bring your dog. Don't leave the dog at home. Bring the dog, and even dress the dog up appropriately. and enter your dog because you could win Best Dressed.
Oh,
Best Dressed. Oh, yeah. And we also have other classes you can enter, such as Waggiest Towel. So, yeah. So definitely dog show. Great part of the event.
Oh, amazing. So listen, I'm going to be hosting myself, Saskia, and also Nina Ambrose, Jordan Gray. We've got Vicky Patterson as Pink, Stephanie Von Klitz. We've got some drag queens coming in, Miss Jason, Drag Me No Name. Very quickly, tickets are still available. It's the 15th of June, isn't it? Central Park, Chelmsford. What's the social media? Where can people find you?
So the best thing to do is take a look at our website. All the info is on there. That's essexpride.org. And then just search for us on Facebook and Instagram as Essex Pride. Find us on there. You can get tickets on the day. They are a bit cheaper if you get them in advance.
Great.
So definitely a good thing to do is take a look. But yes, they are available on the day as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, 15th of June, it is in the diary. My dance shoes are polished and ready to go, and I can't wait to see you all. And I love you, Essex Pride. Thank you so much, Gary Orms. And I look forward to many, many more Essex Pride events. Big love. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Ashley. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
So as we said, following on from the likes of some other TV celebrities and all, Brett Salway has been recording a song with another friend of Shout Out, Alan Coulthard, together to raise money for charity. So have a listen to this. This is called Your Song.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, that's because you're live on air.
Wonderful. So prepared as per.
So that's Brett Salway and Your Song. That will be out in a few weeks' time on ACAP Records, which is Alan Coulthard's label. And all the money will go to the Elton John Charitable Foundation. So if you want to get that, keep a look out for that. So
yeah, it's a good cause.
So now my excited little buddy, how are you?
I'm so well. Thank you.
Yeah. Now this bit, we said that we promised listeners that we would update them on how it went, and of course it was your first ever trip to the British Podcast Awards, wasn't it, with us at the weekend?
Yeah, it was. I think I did really well to stay so outwardly composed, if I'm honest, because inwardly not so.
No.
No. I think the Prosecco on entering was very helpful.
That was a nice welcome.
It was very nice welcome. Yes.
Yeah.
I have to admit, because of course we went year one and for some reason we missed the date last year and it slipped out of our diary, so we didn't go last year, and my god, what a difference this year. It had really gone up a bar, hadn't it? It was quite surreal being
quite a few bars actually.
I mean for those of you that are wondering, if you're not aware, we didn't place. So basically there are six finalists in each of the categories, and we were one of six. And we were up against lots of BBC radio shows.
It was all BBC except for Chris Moyles. Chris Moyles Radio X podcast was in amongst our category.
I thought one of the kids ones.
All the others were BBC.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But we were there, and what they do is they award a bronze, silver and gold, and the gold's obviously the winner. But it's an achievement when you look at the thousands of podcasts that get sent in, that Shout Out was the only, to my knowledge, community radio show that was in it.
We were the only bunch of people there that weren't getting paid.
I'm not so sure that's true.
And front row.
But yes.
Which
and
was wonderful.
It was really nice. It was like, because we were there with Tom Daly's husband, Lance. I should know that.
I couldn't remember at the time.
Stunning guy.
Yes.
Michael Sheen
came on and gave an award away. It was and there was one podcast that was really, really successful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that something to do with
George the Poet.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Five awards, I think.
Yeah.
Plus the top one.
Six awards.
It
was a very, very good experience. And thank you to everyone who kind of wrote and sent their support and the like. We have put photos up. You can see me and Hannah and Steph all enjoying a little glass of bubbly when we first got there.
Yeah.
And you can see what the stage looks like inside. They do have a podcast channel themselves, don't they?
So, they do, yeah, where they advertise all the podcasts that got through to the finals, little snippets from all of us.
Yes,
all of
you can hear me and Lara talking when we interviewed Kiki about cutie pop relationships. Yeah.
Do you know what's really surreal is that BBC Multistory picked up the award, which is stories from all the local radio stations, BBC local radio stations around the country. And was it a 13-minute segment that we had to...
Yeah, it was around there. We managed to get about 3 or 4 clips.
Well, part of it was when Lynn and I did the piece for Radio Bristol, also broadcast on Shoutout, was part of it. So Shoutout in spirit actually won the award.
I like that.
I like that, yeah. I do too. Yeah.
Yes, that was tenuous.
I was going to say, yeah. No, well, it was there.
Who did win the award overall then?
BBC Multi-Story won our category, and the BBC took second and third. It was just good that Chris Moores didn't pick up either. So.
Oh, that's just because you don't like it. I like Chris Moores.
I didn't like him. He was the most popular there. Everyone thought he was going to win.
They all thought he was going to win.
That was the same.
And
in
he didn't
the
place either, did he?
No, so. But it was the same as a couple of the other podcast award sections. You know, where there were certain people I thought were definitely going to win it. And they didn't. No.
Yeah. Which was good.
Dustin Lance Black, that was his name.
Yes.
Did you see him?
And the lovely Fern Cotton was sat behind us.
Yeah,
wasn't she
was lovely.
And I haven't figured out what her name was, but I was sat next to a very famous actress who's done lots of things on BBC.
Julia. She doesn't know that's a name, but it is. Yeah, she's been in loads of things that I like, and actually I couldn't name one, but Gavin and Stacey is one of them. I named it afterwards.
Yeah, she was sat next to me. She was lovely. I only kind of said a few words to her, and I didn't realise who she was till she stood up and went on stage and got an award.
Or was it before that, wasn't it, when you spilt your beer over her feet?
Yes. I didn't spill it over her feet.
All the drunken revelries coming out now, isn't it?
I walked in with a pint of wine, looked very elegant.
It was that classic. Hannah. You're not allowed to take glass into a theatre, so they made us decant into plastic, didn't they? But
Andy says, "Oh, I'm going to get two now because we might not be able to get back out. So, can you hold one for me?"
Yeah.
So it's like we're walking in, looking like nobody else was taking drinks.
Right, lashes.
Yeah.
They did take drink. There were loads of drink.
Yeah, but you were the only one to kick one over.
Well, that was only because they made me move. I was all sat down and set on this. Oh, can you move up a seat? I'm like, oh. But I did.
You got all flustered.
So, yeah. but it was good. I was trying to think what the name of the host was.
Kaliad.
Yes.
Yeah, she was absolutely
wonderful. She was brilliant.
Really,
she's
really
taught me
good.
A lesson about if you get a word wrong whilst reading the news, for
what
example, then you just make a louder noise about it and carry on.
Yeah, she just made up side stories.
She did, which was hysterical.
It was hysterical. Yeah.
She was so good.
It kind of just added to the whole thing, didn't it? Because it made it so much more fun. Mm. So it is available to watch on YouTube. If you check out British Podcast Wars on YouTube, you can go see the entire ceremony if you want to, including, and you won't be able to see us there because we were really nervous when they were reading out the award and we didn't win.
You can see us very sort of at the odd moment because I'm wearing obviously the most subtle jacket ever.
You were.
Which may or may not have caught the cameraman's eye a couple of times.
But it was really good. And congratulations to all the winners because there were some amazing podcasts there and they were very well deserved, weren't they?
Yeah.
So who knows? We might win. It's our 10th birthday next year. We might win next year. You never know.
Maybe.
So keep fingers crossed.
Have to get some really good podcasts coming in, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. We've already got some good podcasts.
Yeah, we have lots of good content.
Just like us.
We need more of the same.
So I was a little bit, because one of the clips I sent in was about you and Terry and the two people that we had from the two adult shops talking about putting together your...
Naughty but nice and...
But when you were talking about the gay starter kits...
Because
we tried to do was to send in things that represented Shoutout. So we sent in some very serious stuff. And we also did something about the Cutie Pot, because we've done a lot on Cutie Pot quite recently. And then because Shoutout is also designed to be a show that does lighthearted things, we sent in those two. And I was so hoping that would be the clip that they played out on the little bits of us. Because the way you two laugh the whole way through is absolutely hilarious. But they didn't. They went with the serious bit.
We need to sort that out. We need to do it for Christmas.
We did get upgraded. If you listen to the podcast that talks about all the finalists, we're apparently a radio station, not a radio show, which was a nice upgrade. So we're on 12, but we're not actually a station in our own, are we?
We're on 11 at the moment, but we will be 12 in July.
Okay, sounded good. Anyway, I suppose we ought to move on. So we'll be back in a minute when we'll be getting some news headlines. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. There's a Turn on the Light. That's by Rosala. Who was at Bristol Pride last year, we reckon, didn't we? So
Yes, and she's at Western Pride this year.
Western Pride this year.
Wonderful.
One of Terry's favourites from that old thing called the Hit Parade.
We'll probably
I do remember Rosala being in the Hit Parade, yeah.
I think we'll be going to Western Pride at some
point. We will.
Yeah, we'll be covering
Hopefully
Western
Pride. Hopefully we're broadcasting
Pride.
From there
this year. Yeah, I think so.
Very nice event. Very intimate.
It was great last
very
year.
Very friendly, yeah.
And some amazing stuff going on with Bristol Pride too. We're doing lots of... I think six stations are taking us this year, and we're kind of teaming up with the BBC a bit too.
Ooh.
Wow. Taking over the world.
Yes.
Taking over.
Yes.
Boney M. doing Pride, isn't it? In Bristol. That's fantastic.
Yes, although it's only one original, isn't it?
There is only one original.
Well, the guy died, didn't he?
Yes.
Bobby.
Yeah,
Bobby.
But, Darren's coming on in a few weeks' time, and we've also got Steve Jenkins coming in from Queer Vision as well.
Excellent.
To talk about that. So, We'll start gearing up for Pride.
All the deets.
All indeed. Anyway, with more deets, as we're calling them, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 23rd of May.
Liverpool's hospital radio service... Radio Clatterbridge reports that a local woman has started a blog for mums and mums-to-be of all backgrounds to help them cope with emotional stresses and postnatal depression. Kate Silcock has been a long-term sufferer of both depression and obsessive-compulsive disorder, both conditions which have featured on the programme in the past. Kate has several happy, healthy youngsters in her family, but she experienced postnatal depression after giving birth, so set up a blog called Alice in Worryland, which will provide support, guidance and anecdotes to help other women experiencing similar conditions. Speaking to the Coffee Break programme on Radio Clatterbridge, Kate said, "It's okay to not feel great as a mum. It's so damaging to compare yourself to another mum because you're on your own path. I had lots of messages from local mums who identified with what I was saying."
Paul Farmer, the chief executive of the respected national mental health charity Mind, has urged everyone to be reflective in the wake of continued fallout from the cancellation of the Jeremy Kyle programme from television schedules. Mr. Farmer suggested that we should not conclude that all reality television is unhelpful. The reasons for things like suicide are complex, he said, and drawing simple conclusions about causes is unhelpful. He added, "The testimonies of some former participants in entertainment television shows has made clear the impact they can have on mental health and prompted a debate about the safety of such programmes. Mind already supports broadcasters to represent mental health related issues sensitively and realistically on screen, and we will be contacting broadcasters to offer to work with them on how they might improve their practices off screen too." Now, the Jeremy Kyle show had allowed lots of people to discuss issues including gender identity. Meanwhile, the gay comic and television presenter Christopher Biggins has told the regional newspaper The Western Daily Press that Jeremy Kyle should not be made a scapegoat now that the tabloid media has turned against reality television shows.
The British Deaf Association says that we have just reached the end of Deaf Awareness Week. The annual event is, according to deaf activist and blogger Miss E, a chance for deaf people to show the hearing community how they can better communicate and foster understanding, and also celebrate the culture and achievements of deaf people. There are, anecdotally, more LGBT people who are deaf than in the general population, although as yet, to the best of our knowledge, there has been no scientific evidence to support this observation. For several years, a sizable national LGBT deaf event took place in Bristol called Deaf FAB. Some cultural theorists speculate that for deaf LGBT people, it is easier to come out. This is because prejudice is often verbal and spread by verbal contagion, and therefore is much less likely to affect deaf or hard of hearing people. The internet has been a major factor in the liberation of deaf people, including deaf LGBT people. It has allowed the creation and publishing of video blogs and media.
With LGBT Pride taking place in Birmingham over the bank holiday weekend, LGBT Conservatives Network have said they welcome all people who are philosophically conservative to join them for a celebratory breakfast on Saturday the 25th of May to kick off the celebrations at the Midlands' largest Pride event and one of the first of the traditional Pride season. You can visit their website for more information and how to book in. Meanwhile, the LGBT Pride event in Birmingham will be very important this year as the community in the Midlands feels under threat from vociferous, very religious protesters who have been trying to disrupt educational establishments from teaching about inclusivity and tolerance.
The pan-European progressive rock music station Radio Seagull reports that one of the most prominent gay men in the wonderfully camp genre of heavy metal has confirmed that a new album is being worked on. Rob Halford, who pioneered the leather clone look in the metal scene with his band Judas Priest in the 1970s, said that the 19th studio album is in development. The legendary band have been going in some form for nearly 50 years and are often cited as being a major influence on later groups as diverse as Iron Maiden and Slayer. There are also a scourge of religious conservative movement in the United States and won a significant court victory over the alleged and largely mythical concept of metal bands putting subliminal messages into rock songs. The magazine Gay Times says that the heavy metal anthem Breaking the Law, which was released in 1977, is also a song about enjoying gay male life in an era when many consenting relationships were criminalised.
And finally, if you are listening to us on Thursday evening, it is European Elections Night, perhaps the final ones that the United Kingdom will be participating in. Broadcasting stations are restricted from airing opinion on the elections, but like the BBC, we can tell you that in the South West of England seat, the following parties are fielding candidates: Conservative, Labour, Liberal Democrat, Green, English Democrat, Brexit Party, UK Independence Party, Change UK and three independent candidates. The polling stations are open till 10 p.m. We hope to have some analysis of the elections next week.
For these news stories and more, please visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrine.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
And if you want to know more about what's been going on in Birmingham, especially around schools and the No Outsiders programme, we will have a special show all about it next week. So do join us for that.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, now that's got to be a Pride track, that one, isn't it?
It has.
That's
yeah.
Kimberly Locke and Feel the Love. And that's a Cahill radio edit. I tend to really like those Cahill edits. They're always like funky versions of tracks, aren't they? So, that's quite new. You picked that one?
No, it's quite old.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
oh.
Yes, I've been playing that on H&H for ages now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have to add it to my collection then, won't I?
Yeah. Fit with a programme, Andy.
Well, you've got it now, because it's in Dropbox.
Well, I have to remember. That's the... So. Moving very swiftly on, we're going to talk to a lady called Elaine, who joined the army in 1982, aged 21, as a student nurse. After qualifying as a nurse, she obtained a commission, became a junior sister at the rank of lieutenant, and that's when her ordeal began in 1987, after rumours of her sexuality became the attention of the Royal Military Police. Well, from there, she went on to write a book called The Queer Angel. Are you there, Elaine?
I am, yes.
Hello, welcome to Shout Out.
Oh, hi, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, tell us a little bit about the book. I'm not really doing it much justice there.
Okay. Well, it's called, This Queer Angel, and it started out, it is a memoir, and my original intention was it would be more about the history of... what happened in the lead up to lifting the ban on, you know, LGBT personnel serving openly in the military.
Yeah.
But it's ended up being more of a little bit of a mix, really. It's because I ended up wanting to really kind of personalise it and take it away from just being about statistics and humanise it and show the way that the ban really, really hurt people at the end of the day. So it became a bit more about why a nerdy, shy, left-leaning girl like me ended up in the army, and you know, how I ended up being thrown out, and then what happened afterwards. So it's a bit of a mix of a memoir, coming out story, a bit about the activism that led to
it's
the band going.
It's a totally true story, though, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
so, because,
yeah,
I mean, a bit, I've got a quote from Peter Tatchell who said, it's the inside story of the long, heroic battle to overturn homophobia in the British Armed Forces. And he said it's inspiring, which must have been lovely to read.
Oh, it's high praise. I mean, you know, to have it from somebody who's spent his life as an activist, you know, that was really fantastic. And although this story, yes, a lot of it is about activism, in as much as, after I lost my career, I ended up co-founding Rank Outsiders with a guy called Robert Ely, who'd lost his career. He'd been in nearly 20 years. I mean, I'd only been in just under 6 years. And we co-founded this organization, which it was an activist group, but it was primarily started out more as a support group for anybody who was either under investigation or who'd actually been made to leave their careers. So, yeah, you know, a lot of the story is about the battles that went on to get the government eventually to back down and lift the ban. But it's also about being true to yourself, really, and understanding your own self, you know, because I had a real struggle coming to terms with being gay, even though I knew I was from a really early age, just because of the era in which it happened, you know, Section 28 and everybody telling you.
Yes,
you know,
I remember
you were,
that.
Yeah. You were a perverse.
Can I don't want to give away too much that's in the book, but can I ask what was your reason for wanting to get into the armed forces?
Well, it's quite funny, really. It's the power of the media has a lot to do with it, massively to do with it. And I actually was really tempted by the army because of a program I saw on the telly when I was 13, and it was set in a women's army camp. And it was just incredible. It went out in 1974, 20 years before Brookside and the famous Anna Friel kiss. And I couldn't believe it. I watched this program, and, the women in it were clearly lesbian and happy to be so. And two of them, well, they danced together. They were naked in bed together and clearly not just sleeping. And and then they had an amazing two very passionate kisses on telly, and I saw this.
Wow, and this was
and
in
I
the
was
70s.
13, and it was
gosh.
It blew my mind.
Gosh.
Absolutely blew my mind.
So did you go into the army not knowing that, like, you weren't allowed to be gay in the army at that point?
No, not at all. I mean, that's a crazy thing. I've still got the... you get given a thing called a notice of engagement, which is very nattily titled, four pages of A4 in tiny, tiny font with all your conditions of service. And I've read it through many times, especially at the time I was being investigated, to sort of check I'd understood right. There is nothing in it anywhere that says that lesbianism or homosexuality isn't allowed. Equally, it doesn't say if you get pregnant you'll be sacked, which was also the case back then.
Right. I mean, we should point out that things have moved on a lot, but I mean, it must have been devastating them when they actually did kick you out.
Of course, yeah, it was horrendous. I mean, it was after nearly 5 months of investigation by the military police. It affected not just myself but other people, because all my letters and diaries had been taken. And so the evidence taken from them would send the Royal Military Police would contact other branches all around the world. I mean, I was in Germany when it happened, but a friend in Hong Kong was investigated because we'd exchanged letters. People back in the UK. One person had a complete breakdown. It was horrendous. It was really, really awful.
It sounds like almost a breach of confidentiality in that sense as well, doesn't it? That they've invaded all your personal belongings and read your diaries, and, you know, I mean, you can't have been the only person in your troop, I guess, who was identifying as LGBT.
Well, no, I mean, my case was a bit unusual, although what they did was commonplace in the way they would treat everybody. And So in some ways I understood why they had to search my room, because I'd been falsely accused of indecent assault. So I had to prove that I hadn't assaulted anybody. Ooh, and that what had happened in the privacy of another person's room was actually at her invitation, and it was mutually consensual, and nobody had been, you know, no children were harmed in the making of this love. just completely mad. So I kind of got why they had to search and things, but where it gets really awful is that the fact that finding a letter or a diary, then they'll go and investigate someone who's not at all involved in this case. You know, their existence has no relevance to my case. And that was really bad, because that's when you get the, you know, people often talk in cliches and they'll say, oh, witch hunt, and people, yeah, you're exaggerating. But it really was. It was like, oh, if we find someone that's suspicious, off you go. I mean, they even sent the military police to a friend of mine who was actually civilian. She'd actually left, and they went to her civilian house because she'd written a letter to me a couple of years before just gossiping about somebody, and then they went to the person that was being gossiped about to ask them if they were gay. I mean,
it's really intrusive, isn't it?
I was completely mad, but that in a way was, that's how the European Court of Human Rights, in the end, forced the UK government to back down, because I can't remember which ones, I think it's under Sections 8 and 13 of the Human Rights Act, basically, is exactly what you've said. Everybody, regardless of what job they're doing or who they work for, is entitled to a private life. And so that's how we got them in the end.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we do know that it has luckily moved on a long way. I mean, we have members of the community now who we know are very open in the armed forces. We've had them on the show. So have you had any dealings with the army since you left? Have you?
Yes, yeah, I do. It's fantastic. There's a guy called Alistair Smith, known as Smudge. He organised the first sort of LGBT veterans ball, I think it was back in 2014, and so it was for serving and veterans and allies and interested supporters, and so I went to that, and then in 2015 I was invited to the Ministry of Defence, which always amused me, that was celebrating, you know, 15 years since the ban has been lifted, aren't we all marvellous, and back in the day we'd all been shushed along as rank outsiders, people moved out there, get away from our steps, how dare you take a picture for Capital Gay and an article. But yeah, so it's lovely. So I've got to know quite a lot of people who are serving now, some of whom served before the ban and were closeted and who can now be themselves, some of whom joined after the ban was lifted, who's never even known there was a ban, which is incredible. Wow. Testament to the progress that they've made. So, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. In fact, I'm going to Veterans Ball next month. They're doing another one up in Manchester. It's going to be wonderful, I think.
Well, that's brilliant. And I presume the book is on sale now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I have a link here for unbound.com/books/this-queer-angel if you'd like to check it out. But I presume also if you go on all good bookstores, you'll be able to find it. It's called This Queer Angel, and it's by yourself, the lovely Elaine Chambers. I should point out that we've had some amazing quotes about it. We've even had one from Ed Hall, who was a founder of the Armed Forces Legal Challenge Group, who said it may start out as a history book, but as you turn the pages, it turns into a compelling, evocative, moving, funny story of the life and times of an extraordinary woman. He says it's also an unusual quality in contemporary history books of being extremely accurate. So a big testament to yourself there. So
he also suggests
I didn't
that
pay him to do that.
No, but he also suggests it might get turned into a film.
Oh, that would be nice.
I love it to get turned into a film, and not just from an ego point of view. I've always seen it in really visual terms. I love film, I love theatre, I've always enjoyed writing, but you know, I never knew what this would, you know, how the reception would be to my first attempt at writing. And although it's not a fiction, you know, I've tried to make sure it wasn't too dry and historic. I wanted it to be really human and to have the humour that's probably helped me to get through stuff a lot. And I've always seen it in visual terms, and I love the idea of it being kind of like a military equivalent of Pride, you know.
And who would play you? Who would play you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's quite funny, you know, you look at pictures of yourself back in the day and you think, right, who could play me, you know, who's young now to play me back then? And I was just thinking my sort of casting motives would be deeply suspect because I just want to cast all the actresses I think are fabulous. It wouldn't matter if they look like me, you know, just, oh, artistic license here, you know.
Yes. I know she had brown eyes, but hey.
exactly. Yeah, use your imagination, cool. You know. Well, I mean, they've done it before, you know, with different things.
Yes, of course.
And that's fine. Just have someone who's happy to act the role. I think it'd be great.
Well, if it gets turned into a movie, you'll have to come to the studio and talk to us in person about it. But we do wish you the best of luck with the book. It sounds like it's been very well received so far. So
thank you. Yeah,
we will make sure we put the links to it on our website as well when the podcast goes up later on. So, but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Elaine.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That was a Boom Boom Bar by Matisse, that song. I really, really like that.
It's very good.
It is.
Good title. Kind of
like, yeah.
Deep, isn't it? Deep.
Oh, it's
just
very
to give the listeners a little bit of a pre-warning, we're going to be nice and quiet in the next 2 weeks because Steph's not here.
That's very true. Can I just mention, Elaine's just texted us to say that the best place to get her book is Amazon.
Oh, right. Okay. I wasn't going to say that, but it's, I'll promote independent stores too.
The paperbacks aren't available from Unbound now. They only do the e-books.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you want a physical thing, it's Amazon.
Cool. And other good bookshops. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, if they're good, they'll have it if it's good.
Yeah, get some independent bookshops to order it in.
Don't get me wrong, I love Amazon too, but they're big, aren't they?
Yeah,
like, that's
the problem.
Something small.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So, but yeah, no, you're jetting off. Well, not jetting off, you're putting your foot to the...
I'm going to Italy, driving down.
Oh, are you looking forward to it?
Road trip. I love my road trips. Yeah. Only problem is all the passes, the three of them that I was going to go over, are closed still because deep snow.
Oh. Deep snow?
Deep snow.
Still. Oh, right.
It takes them a long time. Last year we went over the Grimsel Pass and the snow was twice the height of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, and it wasn't even rainbow snow. It was just grey.
Not even nice twinkly rainbow snow.
How do you get rainbow snow? In fact, no, I don't want to know. I'll get Hannah to show me that later. Anyway, that's it for this week. On behalf of all of us here at Shouter, we'd just like to say a huge thank you to all of you who supported us in the British Podcast Awards this year.
And if you'd like to learn more about Shoutout, check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week is a bit of a special. Matthew will be here with Lara. And it's a special show dedicated to talking all about the No Outsiders project that's going on, that's been causing all the issues in the school. So, but for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.